The next interview started out as a thought in my head, thinking a lot, as I've done recently, about the incredible mental, psychological, emotional difficulty of being a frontline health worker and dealing with patients who die more frequently than one would be used to in one's career as a nurse or a doctor or a specialist, and then particularly dealing with patients for whom you are the only point of emotional contact because their families are not allowed to see them. There are a huge range of deeply intense emotional stresses on health workers in the COVID world at the moment. And I wanted to know what level of training is given to nurses and doctors as they fledge their professional wings. And it turns out the answer is not very much at all. And I suppose that's understandable given the fact that when you were training a doctor or a nurse 15 or 25 years ago, something like COVID-19 and the impact it would have on the profession and the world wasn't really thought about. We are now, though, talking to Dr. Kerry Lowe, who is a psychiatrist with Stellenbosch University and Tygerberg Hospital, part of running Stellenbosch University's Resiliency Clinic. Kerry, good afternoon. What is the Resiliency Clinic?
Hi, good afternoon. The Resiliency Clinic is something, an initiative that we started at Stellenbosch University at the start of the pandemic because we were aware of the huge psychological burden that was going to come. And it was set up by Professor Sreya Sidat and Dr. Yaku Rousseau. We have volunteer providers who are psychologists and psychiatrists. And our focus is on frontline workers offering individual and group sessions. And it's not deep, dark psychotherapy. It's really sessions and spaces for staff to connect with providers to help process some of the trauma they're exposed to. And it's meant to create a practical space as well, yes, to normalize what people are going through, but also skills-based. So if somebody's having trouble with sleep, providing information around managing that, connecting them to their own resources and their previous resiliency strategies. And we've really tried to be an on-site, invisible presence in the hospital environment.
I mean, Kerry, whether you have been a nurse or a doctor for 5 years or 25 years, nothing in your previous medical career would have prepared you for what you've had to deal with over the last 12 months.
No, definitely not. And I find it interesting when I do group work, when interns talk about their trauma and what they're exposed to, the rest of the team can acknowledge that none of us are prepared and no one knows how to cope, and I think that is reassuring that this is across the spectrum and senior staff are struggling as much as junior staff, that no one had a skill set at the start of this to deal with the level of trauma and loss that we've experienced.
Does it, I mean, the fact that it is, look, trauma is trauma, but at the same time, trauma is not trauma. Different kinds of trauma require different kinds of approaches. The fact that this is unique, so fresh, so new in people's minds and in people's working lives and home lives. Does that make it more difficult to deal with, to come up with appropriate strategies to help the people who are in this space?
Definitely. I think one of the challenges with COVID is the pervasiveness. It's relentless. So, yes, you might face trauma at work, and you're used to that because you're at, kind of working in an environment where you're facing that all the time during the day, but then you can go home and switch off. But COVID isn't like that. I mean, it's constantly on the news. You may have family who've had it, who've died from it. You're anxious about infecting your family at home. You're anxious about getting it yourself and dying. A colleague of mine who had it said, you know, this is the first time she's, you know, had an illness that she's seen patients die from. So it's so much closer to home. And then the normal things we might rely on, like I'm going to go to the beach and relax to sort of take my mind off things, you can't do those things anymore. You can't be close to your family. I know doctors who just don't want to see their parents because they're anxious about making them sick and they haven't seen them for months. So I think it's the fact that it impacts on every level of life and there's very little reprieve and nowhere to escape from it. And people are faced with very real fears of getting it themselves, dying, infecting their families. So I think that's the difference to what people were used to managing before this.
I presume that the people who have volunteered to work at the Resilience Clinic are overwhelmed by patients, or is there still perhaps not enough knowledge about the facility being there for people to use. Is there any kind of resistance to reaching out for professional help? Is there still a sense of, you know, that cowboys don't cry mentality that police officers certainly do struggle with?
No, I mean, it's such an important question that you're asking, and it's so relevant because, yes, people, doctors in particular, health workers, do not access help. There is an element of self-stigma around mental illness, or not even mental illness, just getting mental health support. You get taught to cope, you get taught to manage, you know, that it's a sign of weakness to admit that you're struggling. So that's definitely a barrier. There are also other practical barriers. You know, people work long days, they have long shifts. They just want to go home. They don't necessarily want to see a provider at the end of the day. So we've really tried to address some of those barriers by being on site. So greater visibility that helps people know you and then they trust you. As a frontline worker, when you're in the trenches, it's very difficult to talk to someone who you feel has no understanding of what you're going through. So part of our resiliency clinic is we actually have an office right outside of the ICU area. We're in the ward. We do patient and family support. So we've become more part of the team, which makes it easier for people to then access that support. And then, of course, virtual and other ways that make it easier for people to access after hours or, you know, in other ways if they're anxious around face-to-face. But you really are so right. Health professionals do not access help for themselves. And we really want to try and create a culture that allows people to, you know, caring for the carer, look after yourself so you can look after others.
And touch wood, second wave numbers in the Western Cape are going down. They're going down nationally. We've gone from over 20,000 new positive cases a day to closer to 5,000 new positive cases a day. Vaccines from the Serum Institute are supposed to arrive. It's going to those healthcare workers who want it first. So one hopes that the working conditions, both the physical and the mental working conditions, will improve over the next months. But you know, given what so many of these people, how hard they've worked, the long hours, the stresses under which they've worked, this is not something that you're going to, in a year's time, say, oh, well, COVID isn't part of us, so my stress isn't part of me. I mean, this is something that is, in many people, going to be at least a medium-term issue with which they are going to have to wrestle, do you think?
Definitely, and we know from data from previous epidemics that the long-term health consequences are long-term mental health consequences. So up to 5 years later, you still see increased rates of mood, anxiety, and trauma-related conditions. And COVID is not going anywhere overnight as well. I think it's going to become a part of our culture, a part of our world. So it is a long-term game in terms of supporting staff and building resilience, and I think a certain level of acceptance is needed. I think we also desperately just want it to go away. And we saw that between the waves, almost a sense of a deep denial, you know, that it's gone, everything's fine. You know, they talk about pandemic fatigue. But really, we have to start adapting and adjusting in ways that are going to serve us long term. But yes, we are sort of coming out of a terrible wave, and that's often when health workers get to think and reflect and process some of what they've gone through. And we need to, I think, in our service, bolster our support during those quieter times when people can actually access the services.
Kerry, thanks very much for talking to us. Dr. Kerry Lowe, a psychiatrist with Stellenbosch University and Tygerberg Hospital and part of the people involved with the Resiliency Clinic, which by the sounds of things is doing absolutely wonderful work.